So the passage that was read this morning in worship, that is called the Little Apocalypse. The passage, it is apocalyptic literature. And in Greek, the word apocalypse, apocalyptic, it means the opening up or the revealing. In fact, we have a book in the Bible that in English is called the Revelation, but it is the apocalypse. It is this type of talk about change and the end times. It's what is to come. It's what the future will bring. Years ago, I took a doctoral seminar at Columbia Seminary, and the title of the seminar was something like Trends in American Religion and Culture. And really what it did is it just opened up room for the teacher of the class, Erskine Clark, to kind of choose whatever he wanted to talk about. Erskine had spent a lifetime teaching, and he had retired to the mountains of North Carolina, and he chose 8 or 10 books for us to read, and I remember getting the syllabus for that class and looking at what we would read, and one of the books was called The Shame of a Nation. It was about our educational system by a guy named Jonathan Kozel. And in that book, I remember he asked, well, why is it that some students in our schools, that they have $31,000 a year spent on their education, while right down the road you have students who only have $10,000 a year spent on them? And can we explain that to children? Why? Some children are worth more than others, and it was a great book. Another book that we read in that class was called Living Next Door to the Texas Death House. And it talked about what it's like to live in the town of Huntsville, Texas, where the state of Texas executed all of their death row inmates. What was it like to live in a culture of death and execution? A very compelling book. In that class, we also read a book called Gilead by an author named Marilyn Robinson, a fictional book about two retired pastors, and it was a great book, and it was very appropriate for a bunch of pastors to read that. But I noticed on that list for that class was a book, Left Behind. I'd heard of Left Behind before, but I had never read that book, and I thought it was odd. Why was a book like Left Behind put in there with those others? You know that Left Behind is kind of this whole series of books, and it is a picture, according to those authors, according to Tim LaHaye, of what it's going to look like when the end comes. I looked it up this past week, and that series of Left Behind books, they have sold over 80 million copies. And it seems that many Christians in America, we just can't get enough of this end times scenario. That class, there were probably 12 or 13 of us in there, pastors, church leaders, and it was interesting, not one of us had read Left Behind. It seemed that the pastors in that doctoral program that we just weren't drawn to Tim LaHaye and Left Behind and that picture of what the end will be like. Now, certainly we believed in the second coming of Jesus, but just not in the way that Tim LaHaye talks about it. But it seems like there's some people, and you probably know of people and churches that seem to specialize in that Left Behind, end of time, return of Christ, this last great day where it is a frightening experience, the last cataclysm, the last judgment, that it's a scary scenario. But many of us, we just don't talk much about that. We just don't talk about that type of thing because and even here at May Memorial, we like to focus on the here and now. What is Christ calling us to do today? And just not spend a lot of time speculating about the future with these strange happenings. But on this first Sunday of Advent, the church, in its wisdom, ask us to read this type of literature. Jesus, he says, look, folks, the days are coming when the sun and the moon and the heavens and the sky, it's all going to be changed. The days are surely coming where there will be signs and portents and all kinds of strange goings on happening all around us. When that happens, look up, Jesus says, because your redemption, final redemption of all of God's people, it is drawing near. And what Jesus is saying to you and to me is that there is coming an interruption. There's coming some kind of big, frightening interruption in the course of time. What's more dependable than the sun? It comes up every morning as far as we're concerned, and then the setting of the sun every evening. What's more dependable than the moon? We can base our calendars on it, and yet Jesus says that there is coming a time when the most dependable things, the most dependable realities in our world, it's all going to be changed. And there will be upheaval. And I wonder if this kind of talk is hard for us to hear in the church. Because if there's one thing that we do as the church and as a church, is we do continuity well. We do stability and dependability well. We know about order. The hymn that we sang before the offering, O come, Emmanuel, is the O antiphon. It was written in the 8th century. We have been singing that hymn as the church for 1,200 years. We do continuity well. The hymn that we're going to sing right before the Lord's Supper, let all mortal flesh keep silence. That hymn, it was written 1,700 years ago, and the church is still singing it. We do continuity well. I heard about a pastor this past week of a church in our greater area. She went to this Baptist church, and I heard that the deacons told her, now look, we're glad you're here, but your first 12 months here, don't change a thing. You need to get to know us and this church, and in these first 12 months, don't change anything. We like in the church for things to stay the same. Many times we think, you know, my life, it's so disrupted. Things are so chaotic in our world. Things are changing so quickly. This world is just out of control. So I'll go to church. Because that is the one place in our world where everything is sure and controlled. I mean, my goodness, we bolt our pews to the floor. Row upon row. And everyone who's going to speak today, their name's in the bulletin, so we know what's coming. This was worked out early this week. We've known it for a while. Everything is planned and stable and continuous and placid and peaceful. And yet Jesus says, don't you get deluded into thinking that things are always going to be this way. Because God is coming. And your life, it may be changed and affected. When I was a pastor in North Carolina, I had this plan that let me tell you, it didn't go like I thought it was going to go. there were a few people who had just joined the church, and I asked them, look, over the next couple of weeks, would you briefly share a testimony about why you joined this church? What was it that you liked about this congregation that led you to be a member? How has your life been made better since you have joined this church? And by the way, no one stood up and said, you know, I joined this church for the pastor. Nobody said that. Bobby Bryant, he and his wife had joined, and he stood up. And he said, you know, I just moved to this little town, and you know, I looked around, and at this church, it seemed like the best group of sinners in proximity to my house. But another lady had joined the church. Her name was Teresa. She said, well, you know, I started by volunteering at the food pantry. I didn't come to church. I didn't come to worship. But I went with you all to the food pantry. And the first day that I went, I saw more children coming through that line than I thought were hungry in our town. And she said, not only that, I couldn't believe the number of people coming through that line that I'd gone to high school with. And I had no idea that if it weren't for the food pantry, that they wouldn't have food to eat. And I thought, how can I not be involved in what God is doing to feed these people after seeing their needs? My life, she said, it was okay. But then I saw that. And I was changed. I had to do something. Sometimes we're closest to God because God interrupts our lives. And one other thing about this text, Jesus says that, you know, there's going to be this time when the sky, the sun, the moon, and the stars is all going to be changed, and this earth as you know it is going to shift. And he says, look up. Look up because your redemption, it draweth near. Look up, Jesus says, because your salvation is closer to you now than it ever has been. You know, we see people that are drawn to this type of apocalyptic literature, and we think it's kind of scary to think about this change that is coming, this change that Jesus is talking about, because all we have worked for is going to change, and all that we have and all that we love and all that we think makes us comfortable, Jesus seems to be saying that it's going to be changing. But Jesus says that this change, this turmoil, this shift is redemption drawing near. And there are people in this congregation today who, if I gave you a chance, you could stand up and testify that there has been a time in your life when something unexpected and undesired, and even terrible. This happened to you. Something that you would have not wished on your worst enemy, and it came and it turned your world upside down, and you didn't know how you were going to put one foot in front of the other, and everything, it changed. But in the hands of God, you look back now, and it was your redemption. God drawing near to you. You thought, maybe you were, in the most horrible, undeserved crisis of your life, only to discover that God was coming close. And God was right there and was closer to you than He ever has been. The preacher Tom Long writes, the way you can tell the difference between a false God and the true living God is that a false God will never shock you. And we've got a God who seems to love surprises and loves pushing us into a new world and changing the systems that we have set up and we defend so fiercely. And it seems in our lives, in my life, and in your life too, that when things are going along so well, that this news from Jesus about everything changing, it doesn't sound like good news. God is going to come and God's going to turn everything upside down and change things and disrupt and turn when everything is going well. That doesn't sound like good news. But it all depends on where you happen to be sitting when you get this news. And I'm going to guess that there have been times in your life when this would be good news. If you've ever been in the middle of a divorce, I'm going to guess that this would sound like good news. That you just hold on because everything is going to change and God is going to come. If you've ever had cancer, this probably sounds like good news. Or if you have ever lost a child, this probably sounds like good news, that God's going to come and intervene and turn your circumstances, the world, upside down. It probably sounds like good news. Or if you've ever battled an addiction, this is good news, the promise of hope that God is going to come and turn it all around. Okay, God, I'm in the middle of this. Please come and bring hope and turn the sun and the moon and the ocean and the wind and my life. Turn it around and bring change. This probably sounds like good news. When you're sitting in that family consultation room at the hospital or in the marriage counselor's office or that visitation room at the funeral home or jail cell or that chair beside of a hospice bed, that news that God is coming, just hold on. God is coming near. And if you have been in that place, I want to say two things to you. Look up. Look up and hope because God is coming and your redemption is near. But also second, if that is your life, this is the place for you, the church, God's people. May Memorial Church, it is the place for you. Maybe to you today, this text is foreign and it's scary. This idea that God is going to come and turn everything around in your world will be turned upside down. But maybe today, you're in a place or you freshly remember a place where this news, it's gospel, it's good news, that God is coming, that God is going to come and God is going to interrupt this whole order of things. And when that happens, look up. Look up because your redemption, it's getting real close. Let us pray. Kind and loving God, we praise you and thank you that we can know that not only has Christ come, but he continues to come in our lives, and we look forward to the day when he will come in power and great glory. God, that you intercede, that you come in our lives. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. We sing a hymn of response today, and it's not the one listed in your bulletin. It's hymn number 192, soon and very soon. If God has spoken to you, I invite you to respond as God leads. Let us all respond by singing hymn number 192.